Lord Jesus, be present and pour out the Holy Spirit upon us as we are gathered together. Touch our hearts and our minds and our lives that we might be transformed into the whole life disciples of Jesus for the world that you are calling us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we have our second installment of our preaching series, From I Am to Y'all Are. And last week, Father Joseph kicked us off with a masterful sermon on the confusion in our culture and even within our church about who the real Jesus is. So today I'm going to continue to lay the foundation for this preaching series by digging into the scriptures to uncover the real Jesus. So let me start by saying, the first thing we need to understand about Christianity is it is a revelatory faith. I'll say that again. It is a revelatory faith. Now, what do I mean by that? What does that mean? It means that the Christian faith had to be revealed to us. Revealed to us by divine grace, because on our own, we never would have figured it out. You don't believe me. I can see it. Consider the Trinity, which Terry preached on 2 weeks ago. The Trinity, three persons, one substance, in the Greek, homoousios. Perfect relationship, but also perfect unity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is the mystery of God revealed. But unfortunately, it is rarely understood. It's a mystery. If we look into the whole body of the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, it is the story of God revealing himself to humanity, breaking through the veil between the eternal and the temporal and saying, ta-da, can you see me now? Now, I would say the first major revelation of God was creation, right? God created all things so that he might be known and seen. Paul writes in Romans 1:20, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. We call this natural revelation, that God can be seen through his creation, through nature. Now, the second major revelation of God, I would say, is the calling of Abraham in Genesis 12. Now, y'all may remember, Abraham's just hanging out, minding his own business. God breaks into reality and reveals himself, and he says, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. And Abraham says, well, where are we going? He says, you just need to go, then I'll tell you. And so by faith, Abraham believed God and saddled his donkey and hit the road. And God makes this promise to Abraham. He says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So this isn't just for Abraham. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So what can we deduce about the nature of God revealed through this promise? Right. God wants to bless humanity. Therefore, God is good. Now, to us in 2022 in Denver, that doesn't sound like a significant revelation that God is good and God wants to bless. But let me tell you, it was an extraordinary revelation. Because you got to see that the gods of the ancient world were not benevolent, they were maleficent. They were out for the destruction and the degradation of humanity. Every single one of them. the gods of the world, whether they're local or regional, they were mean and they were bloodthirsty. And they had to be appeased at all costs or else they were going to get you. That's how the ancient world worked. But here comes this God who created everything, proclaiming that he's not here to destroy, does not need to be appeased, but to bless. And not just the Israelites in sort of a clannish way, but all of humanity. We got to understand that that was a completely contrary idea. Completely different from the gods of the ancient world. That God is good. God desires to bless and not destroy. That would have been ridiculous for an ancient person. It would have been outlandish, impossible. You see, there was nothing in the consciousness of humanity at that time which offered that perspective of the divine. That actually was a new thought. A new idea. It was a revelation. The third great revelation of God comes from our Old Testament lesson this morning. Moses is on Mount Horeb and encounters God in the burning bush. Y'all remember Exodus 3? And God calls to Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. And I have come to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Do y'all see it? Michael, do you see what I'm getting at? What was revealed to Abraham, a benevolent God, was also revealed to Moses. God said, "I have seen my people's misery. I've heard their cry. I'm concerned about their suffering. And I have come to rescue them." Wow. Wow. That is a wow. Because it reveals that God is actually for us. God is for all of us, all of humanity. God is for you. He is not some bloodthirsty deity who demands to be appeased. But rather, he has revealed himself to be kind, merciful, good. He's revealed himself that God desires to bless, not curse, to love, not hate, to be known by and to know his beloved humanity. God desires intimate relationship with humanity and each one of us. And that's why he reveals his sacred and holy name to us. Back to Exodus, Moses said to God, "Suppose I do go to the Israelites and they ask me, 'What is your name?' What am I supposed to tell them?" You see, all the local and regional gods had different names. But also to have someone's name was to have a certain intimacy with them. And a certain level of power and access. And God said to Moses, this is extraordinary, "I am who I am. I am who I am." That's what you're to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." Now, in the Hebrew, "I am" is Yahweh, the existing one. And this name Yahweh to the Jews became so sacred, so holy, that you couldn't utter it out loud. You didn't say it out loud. You didn't even write it. They substituted Yahweh in the Old Testament for Lord, Adonai, because it was that sacred. Now, why is the holy and sacred name of God, I Am, Yahweh, important to our discussion on Christian identity? That is a great question, by the way. It is. And I believe the answer is found in John 8:58. Now, let me set the context. Jesus is wrangling with the Jews about his identity. They're saying he is a Samaritan and he is demon-possessed. And then he says this provocative statement. He tells you, I tell you the truth. Anyone who keeps my word will never see death. That's pretty provocative, isn't it? Will never see death. And the Jews take that on. And they say, well, Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone who keeps your word will never taste death. Are you saying that you're greater than our father Abraham? And this is where Jesus drops the bomb. This is like the greatest mic drop of all time. Y'all ready for it? Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. Woo! Kaboom! That is a kaboom. If you were a Jew 2,000 years ago, and you said, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am, that was cataclysmic. That was blasphemy at its deepest level, because just saying out loud the name of God, I am, was blasphemy. And Jesus was actually using it and referring to himself. Jesus was claiming right there, right then, he was claiming, I am the immortal. I was before Abraham. I am the invisible God, the creator of all things, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the one who spoke to Moses. I'm the one who led Israel out of their captivity in Egypt. I'm the one who gave the law to Moses. I'm the one who cleared out all the nations so they could have the promised land. I am the chief, the ultimate, the definitive revelation of God to humanity. If you want to see God, look at me. If you want to know the heart of God, watch me. If you want to draw closer to God, draw closer to me. That's what Jesus was saying. And let me assure you, that was not the only place where Jesus unabashedly claims to be God. John 10:30, the Father and I are one. John 10:38. Understand the Father is in me and I in the Father. And then John 14:9, I knew you were going to quote it. Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Boom, mic drop right there. And here's the deal. The writers of the New Testament, decades after the death, resurrection, and ascension, make the same claims Jesus did. Paul wrote in Colossians 1, Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:3, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Get this, the exact representation of God's being. They were not confused back then of who Jesus was. It was irrefutable from the witnesses who wrote the scriptures of the New Testament. And it was proven by Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. The first disciples got it. Debbie, and they proclaimed it. And they killed them for it. They proclaimed it. They wrote it all down. so that we might have the Bible which bears witness to this astounding revelation from Genesis to Revelation. The problem is, and Joseph framed it up perfectly last week, we have manipulated and mutilated the identity and image of Jesus by foisting upon him our own projections and prejudices. We have turned Jesus into an idol of our own making. We have put him into MAGA hats and on PETA posters, enlisting him to support our most self-serving agendas. Joseph last week referenced this book, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? And I'm going to put this on the website. This is going to be our book for the summer. 12 False Christs. Matthew Richards, the author, makes the argument that we have turned Jesus into one chapter. We've turned him into a mascot, a good teacher, a therapist, a giver of bling. That's the prosperity gospel. A national patriot, a social justice warrior, a mystical friend, and my favorite, a teddy bear. All projections of our prejudices and self-serving ideas and desires. The only way for us to know the real Jesus is to know the Jesus of the Bible. If Jesus is the truth, then the Bible is the truth about the truth, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the first way to come to know the real Jesus is through the eyewitness accounts of the Gospels and the writers of the New Testament. But Jesus is all through the Scriptures. The Christology runs from Genesis to Revelation. But second, we are not solo scriptorum, only Scripture. As Joseph reminded me at coffee talk, we are prima. As Anglicans, we are prima scriptura, meaning Scripture is primary, but not the only. So the second way that we come to know the real Jesus is by listening to the voices of dead people. Did I get your attention? We believe that the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke about, he says, I will give you the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. We believe that the Holy Spirit has been leading the Christian faith, the church, to all truth for 2,000 years. And part of that includes the wisdom of those who have gone before us, who have formed this faith, this church, like Origen, Basil the Great, Gregory of Nyssa, Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, Julian of Norwich, the Reformers, Luther, Calvin, William Law, Thomas Hooker, and in modern day, Thomas Merton and others. Scripture, primary, tradition informs. And then the third way we come to know the real Jesus is by doing what we're doing right now. Living in Christian community, where we worship together, we pray together, we serve together, we grow in faith together, sharing our experience, strength, and hope of the risen Lord Jesus. It is within this context that we come to know, through Scripture, tradition, and community, the real Jesus. We become whole life disciples. It's through these three sources, the Bible, the wisdom of the church, and the Christian community, that the Holy Spirit reveals to us in this time, this context of Denver in 2022, the real Jesus. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to explore the great and provocative I am statements of Jesus from John's gospel. 7 times Jesus says, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. Together, let us dig into the scriptures and the tradition together as Christian community and rediscover the character and nature and heart of God as revealed through the real Jesus. Not the ones created by our culture. And in doing so, I believe that we will also discover our true selves in Christ. So join us. Join us on this journey from I am to y'all are. Amen.